we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead. Well, as the politicians continue to play volleyball back and forth on where the virus came from, of course, this is something we reported on a few years ago. We were just a couple of steps ahead of many of the politicians here in Washington, to be sure. We're speaking of where this originated from, and what a mess that was when this thing launched. They're still talking about it. China's not happy. They're pushing back a bit and saying, okay, enough, enough. They don't want to hear anymore. I wonder why that is. Welcome in, friends, to America Out Loud Pulse. It is Malcolm Out Loud here, along with my co-host.
I'm Dr. Peter McCullough.
Okay, so this, you know, this is something I chuckle at when I see it, Peter, because we kind of dive into a lot of the research early on. I mean, we knew the origins. We talked about it. In fact, we have Dr. Li Mengyang on the platform here, amongst others. And so it's pretty clear. But China's not happy with these hearings of what's taking place. Let's start that as a starting point. What do you make of that and these new revelations? You've been talking about double lab leak theory as well.
It's true. Dr. Li Mengyang was on primetime news last night, interviewed on Newsmax, and what she's been saying on our platform has been right on target the entire time. Revelations now by former National Intelligence Director Radcliffe, who said that, you know, all along it came out of the lab in Wuhan, China, that it was supported by all the intelligence documents they had, as well as the science. And I thought that was a stunning, really, admission, as this capitulation continues to cascade through Senate hearings, as well as the congressional oversight panel for the origins of the coronavirus. They're back at work again. Remember, there was a 419-0 vote in the House to declassify the documents. So the United States appears to be deeply involved with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. We knew about the two papers published by Ralph Barrick at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, in Nature Medicine and Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, which basically laid out how they made the prototype chimeric virus. This is now coming to full understanding. But it was suggested that there could have been a double leak, and this is important to understand. This changes everything, meaning that earlier in 2019, there could have been an unintentional leak through the ventilation system or by some other means where the virus got out, a few people got sick, and it wasn't that big of a deal. It couldn't really be discerned from any other illness. But then there was an intentional effort then by the Chinese, who knew about the leak, to begin work on a vaccine and try to get, in a sense, an early head start on a vaccine, and then a more substantial leak later on towards the end of 2019. And that brings up the possibility that it was an intentional act, at least the second one, Malcolm. So I think this is really now really, really pointing, the spotlight on the Chinese, what exactly happened. It doesn't appear that they were as innocent as appeared in terms of being a subcontractor. Remember, before, the positioning was, listen, we're just doing subcontracting for Anthony Fauci, Francis Collins, right, and the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill Consortium. And I guess the documents that have been declassified now and will be reviewed must be a treasure trove of evidence.
You know, as you mentioned moments ago, you said your words, Dr. Li Mengyang has been right all along on this platform with this. And, you know, maybe some people have looked at this and wondered, whether all of that was accurate. I mean, she's been on that case from the very, very beginning. Why? Because she knew. Why? Because she was there. Why? Because her only mission and agenda was to bring the truth over. I mean, Dr. Li Mingyang is one of the most honorable people I've ever met. She is as sincere as the day is long, tremendous human being. I just love the woman. Incredible. But, you know, you just mentioned, back to the, maybe this was intentional. Well, if we're going to come back to what she's been saying right from the beginning, she's been on the story on this, Peter, from day one. This was very intentional. This was a product of the CCP. She made it very, very clear up front. So I think that would be an affirmative, don't you?
It's getting closer to that. And the reaction from the Chinese that we're hearing through the news agencies is that they are really recoiling, taking a defensive posture. Remember, China's been pretty quiet over the last 3 years on this, and this has all been hashed out. The intentional misdirection, though, by Anthony Fauci, Francis Collins, Christian Anderson from Scripps, Edwin Holmes from University of Sydney, and of course, Jeremy Farrar, formerly at the Wellcome Trust, who is now the chief scientist at WHO, that collaboration intentionally misled the academic community. A dozen academic papers saying the origin of the virus was from nature or from this Wuhan fish market, that it was not a lab origin. Now this is becoming clear. This is actually in print, that they intentionally misled the world. Remember when we had a situation where the U.S. could send delegates to investigate the Wuhan lab at the behest of the WHO, and three scientists were picked independent. WHO rejected them. The WHO wanted Peter Daszak to represent the United States. Peter Daszak led the EcoHealth Alliance, and still does, that shuttles money between the National Institutes of Health and the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So Daszak already knew the lab well. He was already in on it. He wasn't an independent evaluator for the origins of SARS-CoV-2. He knew exactly where they came from. They came from the lab, and Daszak was part of this misdirection effort, this deception that went on for 3 years. So he's clearly in the ring of those who are culpable in misleading the world on where this virus came from. Keep in mind, we have over 10 million deaths worldwide. Over a million Americans have lost their life. And this appears to be some type of biological threat development effort between the Chinese and the Americans. It leaked out, it went bad, and there's been 3 years of a botched cover-up.
That's a big part of the story, what you point out right there when you went name by name there, the bulleted list of people who were up front. I mean, the only name that people really mostly hear in the public is Fauci. He's become the target of much ridicule. But there's a whole host of people, as you just point out, that have been part of that conspiracy here. And that's the most egregious part about this, is the government funding, the cover up of the people here who knew. Now, you have to know, you got to believe, as I do, that, I mean, these people were part of the cover up. They knew what was going on, yet they still hush hush. You know, you wonder why that is. These people in high positions like that, I mean, is it a payoff of some kind from China? Is it embarrassment? Is it, what exactly would have, you know, kept them to be quiet that long? I mean, someone that's really passionate and after the truth, whatever their position was, they would at some point speak what that truth is, which was the cover-up, this thing being intentional from China. These people knew. It's very clear they knew, as you just pointed out. Why do you think they've been so hush-hush on this? What's behind that, you think?
John Leek and I in our book use the term biopharmaceutical complex. We need to understand it more. Right. It's almost like its own organism. Remember, part of this complex or syndicate is the WHO. The WHO is heavily funded by the CCP and the Gates Foundation. We have CEPI, the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness and Innovation, formed by Gates Foundation and the World Economic Forum. You have the World Economic Forum itself, which holds these regular meetings in Davos, where all the players are there. You have the Wellcome Trust. Remember Jeremy Farrar moving between the Wellcome Trust and the WHO. He's part of it. The Rockefeller Foundation. We have Rick Bright, who was in the White House. He joins Rockefeller Foundation. You have The Gavi, Unitaid, these other vaccine promoting organizations, and then of course you have the government agencies, the MHRA, the TGA, the FDA, NIH, CDC, the Chinese CDC. They're working together. This event 201, which now, you know, that occurred in the fall of 2019. That actually wasn't a tabletop exercise. Mm-hmm. That was funded by the Gates Foundation and Johns Hopkins School of Public Health. That was actually an operational meeting. They had all the players there, including Dr. Gao from China. He came over to China mm-hmm. to actually be in a meeting to plan for a coronavirus outbreak pandemic response. And everything about Event 201, it was all about fear, lockdowns, control of communications, and then railroading vaccines on the world. Right. They telegraphed this, Malcolm, in Event 201.
Mm-hmm. Do you think some of these people just got caught up into this? You know, I mean, the list of names you put out moments ago were... these at one point were trusted people. Do you think they just got caught up in a bad situation, kind of a whodunit kind of thing?
I have to believe, Malcolm, that the money that is flowing in various forms of gifts, favors, consulting revenue, the luxury that these people who go to Davos, who fly in these private planes. And
then complain about climate change, yeah.
No, but to see the power of this, and one of my Substacks, I reviewed the agenda for the World Economic Forum Davos meeting. Only 22% is on economics. The WEF meetings is like a population science, genetics, science fair, basically. And it's a lot of people who are not scientifically qualified dreaming about how they can change the world, in many ways dreaming about how they could control the world and even have a greater degree of power. Remember the motivators of money and power are not to be underestimated. Mm-hmm. And some of the worst types of bias are what we call this investigator bias, or this personal in a sense. Have you ever dug in on an issue and really felt you're right and you're willing to carry it to some extreme? There are people in this world who believe that, in fact, that there are too many people on the world, that in fact, the world is overpopulated. Those people tend to believe that the climate is getting warmer. They also tend to believe that all the world's ailments can be cured by more and more vaccines. All these thought patterns tend to run together.
Yeah, interesting. You know, when you say, it's interesting note for listeners here, when you say some people believe the world is getting warmer, that was the whole global warming thing. That was the climate change thing. And actually, we're headed to another mini ice age is what's happening. So it's all rubbish. It's not even scientifically true, like everything else they put out there. So it comes back more to the power and greed, money. That's always the derivative here of these kinds of deals here, really, more or less. You know, I'm thinking here, Peter, here a moment here, we're talking about all this. I mean, this is like, you know, I just remember as a young man playing one of those board games, Who Done It? You know, it's like, oh, was it the professor such and such or the such, you know, it's like, who really done it? Who did the crime here? Now, again, we knew from the beginning it was the origins of coming out of that lab in Wuhan. It was very clear, people, we knew what we knew early on. We put it out there. But, you know, remember back then now for a moment. OK, step back a minute here. You know, this same story we're talking about now that you say is in print, that they are talking about up in the hearings and what have you, and was the same story we were all being censored for. We were being thrown off and discarded. Like if you had put this message out there in the same way you just did it, you put it in a social media post 1 year ago, as happened with you and so many others, you would have been thrown off of social media. For expressing an opinion that didn't go along with the state view. Is that a fair assessment?
It's true. That's actually a very important revelation. The types of, quote, facts that we're talking about, attorneys call it a fact pattern, mm-hmm. that we're talking about now, those facts or observations being uttered 2 years ago or a year ago mm-hmm. would be very strictly censored by social media. Now, you can ask the question, well, who in social media and why? Now we know with the Twitter files that it's the U.S. government. It was the FBI and their agents, current and former agents, working in Twitter content moderation offices that were doing the censoring. We know that there were important phone calls and interactions between the CDC and Twitter, between Scott Gottlieb, a former FDA commissioner, now on the board of Pfizer, and Twitter. So you can see the web of people. You could ask the question, who in the United States did not want us to know that the virus came out of the Wuhan Institute of Virology? Well, let's put on that list the National Institutes of Health and Anthony Fauci, because and Francis Collins, they directly misled the nation.
Yeah.
How about the FBI? Okay, they're part of the national security apparatus and national intelligence community that we have. Okay, that doesn't look good. Scott Gottlieb, former FDA commissioner. The list is going to broaden, Malcolm.
Yeah,
but I can tell you, the U.S. government agencies are part of the biopharmaceutical complex, as we've described it, and they are in on it, and they did not want people to fully grasp that this virus was a U.S.-funded creation and planned, and actually the innovation came from the U.S., from everything we can tell, contracted to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Something went wrong in 2019, and it clearly came out of that lab.
Well, and remember, people, when I talk about people getting caught up into this spiral here, remember we talked a few weeks back or so recently about Robert Redfield and how he got caught into this, and he, you know, he just revealed several things that were on his heart just recently. And again, remember back to those hearings, even when Trump was in there, the body language of Redfield was very clear to me. And so I suspect there's a lot of people like him when I talk about people who got caught up into who really didn't know what the hell to do. I mean, they really were caught into a spiral and effect of something they couldn't probably digest themselves. I think you would agree with that's a fair assessment, but then you bring it to a crux, and I think it should give everybody such a pit in their stomach when you talk about really this is what it's even more than a biopharmaceutical complex. It's a bioglobalist takeover, depopulating the planet group here that have a mission that is beyond what any of us could possibly ever think about. But you remember that, as I said, Redfield and the body language and all that, there's a whole host of people like that got caught into this. So here's the thing now, to bring this to a head, China right now. China, I've seen some of the statements the Chinese government has put out there, and they will never admit this. They will never admit this. It doesn't matter what, you could put them into the room and put a spotlight on them and shake them down or waterboard them or do whatever. They will never admit this, ever. They'll go to their graves not admitting this. And yet they are, right now trying to do a PR campaign and convince the world that they're good and they're actually on the move and they're doing a lot of things that are very, 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 very suspicious, highly suspicious under these circumstances, tied to this here, that this is an intentional event, and they're bringing it back to the double lab leak theory you just talked about. I mean, it makes them really, frankly, Peter, the murderer, the murderer of those millions and millions of people. And then these others are part of the crime. You talk about a cover. It's a cover up. It's another book is what it is. And then some. It's the cover up of the century of our lifetimes. Fair assessment, isn't it?
It is. I mean, think about this. What if this is true? What if there was this kind of mini leak at first, and they were just wanted to see how it would spread among the Chinese population? Remember, pandemics are not common for the following reason, is that, you know, infectious diseases are not that infectious where it can affect the whole world. Right. Usually outbreaks are limited. The bugs don't hop from person to person that readily. The only way to ever really see if a bug is going to become you know, the source of a pandemic is to kind of let it rip and see what happens. And if there was an initial leak and they watched the pattern of spread in Wuhan and were able to study this and then say, okay, this is the real deal. This is going to work. Let's get prepared with the Sinovac, Coronavac vaccines. Let's get our positions all staked out on remdesivir. By the way, they do have positions on remdesivir with Gilead. You know, let's get all this together. Len said, and George Gao over to Event 201. Let's really plan this out. And then towards the end of 2019, let's pull the ripcord. If that was the case, then this is far more nefarious than we could ever imagine. Remember all the portending statements. Remember Fauci said there will be an epidemic during Trump's administration. Yeah. Fauci says this. There are all these proclamations from people saying there will be pandemics. By the way, a lot of the same people today, Malcolm, are saying there's going to be another pandemic. Have you heard that one?
That's right. Yeah, many times, multiple times. Yeah. And I cringe when I hear it. I cringe when I hear it because something's going awry here in the world. It's like we're upside down now and we can't seem to grab a hold of things. A lot of this was, you remember where the United States was, our country back prior to this pandemic exploding on our shores. Our economy was robust. We were in a very prime position in so many ways, had reinvested in a lot of our military, and our country was solid. We were really in a great place back in 2019, 2018. The country was doing remarkable. There was a president in office who had an America First agenda, doing the right things for the nation. That upset a lot of people, and a lot of the globalists got upset to see where the country was headed. There's a lot of political overtones to this entire apparatus back to, you know, this COVID business. And I'll tell you what, we're in a spiral effect in this country. We're being taken down multiple notches, and you can feel it, which is why this becomes very political, Peter. That's why this 2024 race coming into play and things we'll be talking about on the network is so critical. It's why people need to pay attention. It's why these two political parties are bent on destroying each other. In the meantime, they're destroying our country. I talk about all the time, but it's pretty sick.
You know, it's so true. I agree with those comments regarding the years, you know, 2016 to 2020. But I think the shortcoming is always the lack of a mandate, the lack of true public support. We've had a series of elections now where it's just somebody barely scrapes by and beats somebody else. I mean, by the thinnest of margins, these elections. I mean,
the elections have been weaponized as well, is the point here, buddy. Yeah.
Right. So to the extent that whatever the results are, you know, we don't have landslides in the popular vote, nothing close to it. And then I think the shortcomings of Trump was, I think many people say they liked America under Trump. Trump himself, was and still is greatly flawed, you know, without dignity, without a sense of servitude to the country. He certainly doesn't view himself as a humble, you know, servant to us. It's almost like presents himself as a king in the royal family and wants to be treated that way. And people recoil from that. I mean, it's just not somebody that people, people in general would warm up to. And I think if there was somebody else who had the American First agenda, who was strong, but also could laugh at himself and view himself or herself as a public servant, be a man or a woman of the people. There's a chance to do this. Many people have said he's populist, or others have said that he's a protest candidate. Whatever it was, I'm not sure. Is from talking to insiders, I'm not even sure he had a doctrine or strong convictions or anything. They simply ultimately, after he hired and fired dozens and dozens of people after 3 months, you know, not showing the human resource skills you'd expect of a CEO, but having some people there who really understood how to run the country, like Steve Bannon and others, the country ran well. That was the bottom line. I think people kind of put up with the person at the top because the country ran well. Now we're facing this this idea of a brand new election. You heard Tim Scott really start to,
exploratory committee. Yeah,
there are attack ads being run on DeSantis, which is interesting. DeSantis is caught up in now even an escalating war against Disney, and people are thinking that's inadvisable. DeSantis is going around the nation and holding a series of these fundraising events, which are largely victory laps for what's happened in Florida.
Yeah,
and then today, which is going to be a very interesting development, will be the announcement, formal announcement in Boston, 10 a.m., of Robert F. Kennedy running on the Democratic side of the ticket. The nephew of the late Bobby Kennedy, our attorney general, and the nephew of John F. Kennedy. And already people are bringing back the old videos. I saw one that I had forgotten about with Robert F. Kennedy, where he was making strident comments that, you know, anybody who didn't believe in climate change ought to be put in prison. So, people, this is going to be a very interesting time. I had made some media appearances on this. I think most of the listeners know I'm pretty much right in the middle. There isn't a single election where I don't vote for some Republicans, some Democrats. Some people have to win my vote. No one's a king to me. No family's a royal family. I'm going to call it like it is. And what I've said is, you know, only 60% of Americans vote, period. And right now we have the COVID community states program showing us 25% of Americans, adult Americans, did not take the vaccine. And I would say the majority didn't take the vaccine for a reason. Many lost their jobs. They had professional reprisal, all kinds of consequences. That 25% of adult Americans, Malcolm, are likely to be voters. Okay, this is interesting. So if only 60% vote, you've got 25 of the 60, you know, with the vaccine as a major issue. Now, Trump is still supporting the vaccine. Most of his rallies, he doesn't mention it. And people are like, where is he on this? Right. DeSantis is going around on his victory lap. He's not mentioning the vaccine outside of the state of Florida. And none of the other Christie Noem, none of them else will pick this up. So Robert F. Kennedy will have it as an issue. I've had a personal conversation with him. It's going to be, his candidacy is going to be way more about the vaccine. It's going to be actually about civil liberties and our liberal democracy. So we are in for a very interesting political cycle coming up.
A very interesting points on Kennedy you point out there. Very fascinating. The whole Operation Warp Speed thing, I think was, I felt early on, was an Achilles heel for Donald Trump and his lack of coming to the altar of truth. On that point, I thought would come back to haunt him early on, quite frankly, since it happened under his watch, certainly under being coerced with his top people in there, but it still happened with him as the commander in chief. And to me, that is that's an explosion that went off, and he continued to double down even to today. I've watched his speeches prior. And there is no admittance of any of it. He still supports what he did, saying it was the greatest thing and the greatest rollout. Again, he's another one that never really admits what that truth is or that defeat. It's hard to swallow. It's very hard to swallow, especially when you see the results of what took place here. But he would have been far better off to come out on that. Very observant of you to suggest all those others. You're also not seeing a lot of movement. That does set up Kennedy for a very interesting front seat, I guess, to everything that is transpiring here. Quite fascinating. Let's see what happens. Yeah.
You know, I noted that the news of Kennedy making his run by Jake Tapper on CNN, Jake introduced him as an anti-vax quack, Robert F. Kennedy, as opposed to a dignified description of, the son of our late Attorney General Bobby Kennedy. You know, the lack of dignity now in the press and how they You know, and again, Robert F. Kennedy, by personal statement, he's taken all the vaccines. He's not anti-vax. So the way people are grossly mischaracterized and painted with a broad brush in order to try to gain some favor in some other way. I think, unfortunately, it's been a denigration of our media. The media has just
been there. You
know, the old days of Eric Severide carefully making notes and respectfully asking questions, those days are gone. But I can tell you this much: if we don't have a leader who can admit when he or she is wrong, and that has never admitted publicly when he or she is wrong, we are in trouble.
Well, that's a tough one.
And what I've said to try to soften things for people in all these different camps is to say, listen, I think America is very forgiving. We're a very forgiving country, very forgiving people. If a leader came out and said, you know what, you know, I was misled on this, and I made what I thought was the right decisions at the time, but it turned out to be the wrong move to advance these vaccines as broadly as we did. And I wish we would have taken it. You know, I think America instantly would accept an apology. But this idea of, as you know, in partisan politics now, there's never any apologies. It's just doubling down.
Well, that's right. I wouldn't be surprised to see something like that transpire. Things are getting so hot now in this particular arena, back to what we talked about at the top of the broadcast with China, with the double lab leak theory, all the things that are transpiring with the hearings in Washington. It's become very clear. Then you look at the vaccine agenda. That's become very clear. We'll see. Anything is a potential there. There is one footnote, don't forget, though, in the case of a Donald Trump. And I'll say this before we move off in the political aspect of this. You know, when you're going against an establishment like this, Peter, and you're going against, I mean, it's a full-on slot here of Republicans and Democrats. It is an establishment. It is well-established. Call it a deep state, call it whatever you want, with all the bureaucracy and those government agencies and the bureaucrats that we know exist and are pulling the strings on a lot of this stuff. It's not the president oftentimes. It's these other cats who names don't get in the paper who are pulling the strings on a lot of these things. That's what undermined the Trump administration, quite frankly, is all the leaks, all of the things that were put out there to discard and embarrass the president. That happened for the entire 4 years of Donald Trump's number 45's administration, to be sure. And frankly, very few people have the courage or were as brazen. And I use the word brazen. You can put a lot of other words in there. But very few human beings would be that brazen to go against the establishment, to be very clear with you, Peter. This is a life deal. You put it all on the line. And that's what that man did back in 2015, 2016, when he ran against Hillary Clinton, quite frankly. He put it all on the line. Flaws and all, we're all flawed as human beings. Nobody's perfect here. But he did that. And he went up against, and for 4 years, he fought that establishment and was a target, was just beat up. There wasn't an hour of a day that didn't go by that they didn't beat the hell out of him. Totally, totally. And they beat up the country, and they didn't want the success. So the man's policies were very effective. It was his policies with an America First agenda that did the things that they did. But the people in the establishment never wanted him to succeed. They did everything throughout that campaign. They thought he was a laughing stock. He never had a chance. He was a threat to the entire system because he blew it up. And I think because of that, his personality got a little more erroneous. He became a little more, he was a huge target, but it became no more laughable. And I think that's where he became a bigger threat, because he didn't back down. How many people in our lives do we know like that? They're just not out there, those kinds of people who are willing to sacrifice it all. So there's a lot of positive things that come out of that, Peter.
I know, but we've had strong leaders in the past. But you know, we don't need leaders to just continue to make mistakes. And
I think the Operation Warp Speed, your point of the vaccines, is going to be the real problem here.
Operation Warp Speed was a mistake that obviously, you know,
I believed it from day one.
It cost American lives, but just little stupid mistakes. Like, you know, why go out there and say that you have a superior IQ to somebody, to everybody else, and let that be in the news cycle for 3 days? You know, these types
And why call everybody pet names and get to, in the mud? And, right? I mean, I know.
So, you know, I'll, you know, all of that is just.
Gets a little childish.
It's childish. It's.
And I said that from the beginning, frankly, in all full disclosure, and the listeners know that about me. I call it as I see it. I said this was going to come back to haunt this man years ago, that you just can't operate that way. And it's going to come back to, and it has, and it did. And some people find it humorous. A lot of the kids did. They thought, oh, it's entertainment and politics, but there was a price to pay for that, wasn't there?
Right? Yeah. America, certainly myself, I'll speak for myself. I want a far more dignified person in office that's not going to do things like that. It's not necessary. We can be much more brief. Remember what changed the game is in this whole climate victimization. What changed the game was social media. He had the biggest megaphone out there. Before, remember, presidents were essentially controlled by the administrations.
That's right.
And the president's opportunity to communicate with the nation would be with a State of the Union address or a fireside.
But Trump was different, wasn't he?
Trump would just say, forget it. I'm just going to go on Twitter and say what I think.
He told everybody.
So the idea is that, wait a minute. He wasn't obliterated by the deep state. He had the upper hand because he had the megaphone.
Well, no, they censored him on Twitter and got rid of him, obviously. You know, they threw him off.
At the very end, but he had a direct line of communication.
And he used it.
Right. So the point is he can't be held up as a victim as much as what people want
to
say.
Well, but the media, I don't agree with that statement. The full-on slaughter of the media was absolutely, just because you got a Twitter feed doesn't make it right. I mean, the full-on slaughter of the media was against him. Nobody supported what was happening here. So no, he was hit. He was definitely a victim of this fourth estate in the media that transpired here in this nation. And they pulled the wool over the Americans' people's eyes. I don't agree with that. I think this was a full-on slot to bring him down, frankly, and they did that successfully. I think the man could have done things a little differently. I do agree with you there, and I think the vaccination thing will come back to haunt him, right?
Well, the mainstream media now is the little stream media. The viewership is way less than a million. You can't say that CNN changed the view of young people in America. It didn't. Young people don't even know what CNN is. It's really social.
Brother, media. I love what you said there. We got to do a whole program on the little stream media. Wow.
So no, he wasn't destroyed by the mainstream media because the mainstream media doesn't have enough influence to destroy anybody now.
Interesting.
What's really the king is social media. And he was the king of Twitter and social media. He did control his own destiny. And he did, in a sense, make his own mistakes. I think someone with far more dignity, insight, the ability to relate to people, better leadership skills, could have done a better job.
Well, part of the problem, though, with what you said there, that's interesting. But part of the problem now, keep in mind, Peter, is there's a good part of the population who only, and this is the real problem, this is the crux of why we're in this position. There's a good part of the country that is oblivious to this stuff. When you see the things they support and how they do it, you scratch your head and wonder, were they living under a rock or did they pay attention at all to anything? Well, yes, they do pay attention. They pay attention to CNN. They pay attention to ABC, CBS, NBC. They pay attention to all of those people. So there's a part of the population that never gets to social media. These people vote. They are people who, but that's where Trump's personality, the media used that to target him, and they really made him into kind of a caricature, a buffoon, if you will, and they were successful in that. And so, no, there were a lot of influential people. This media still has an influence over a good part of the population. I'll give you probably 30 to 40% of the population. They are not in tune to the conversations we're having here, Peter, to be sure. And they're caught up into all, they think it's gospel. CNN has an audience, and you can discard those, but those people are still a piece of the populace. And that's why what's happening is what's happening. You understand?
CNN, I'm looking at right now, has 587,000 viewers by this assessment. Fox is a little bit higher at 2.26. Malcolm, we got probably with the most recent census, 360 million. I don't buy it. CNN is not swinging the country. It's not. It's too.
Well, we may surpass all of them soon at America Out Loud.
Yeah, but no, the viewership is too small to make the claim that CNN destroyed Trump. It's just too small. Malcolm, young people don't have cable TV. Talk to any young person. They don't. There's too few people watch CNN and cable news.
But a lot of the other things they did in the landscape was also very successful in pulling them down. And they took those stories and they beat them to death. And the NPRs of the world and all of those cats, I mean, they all took it down. I mean, he didn't have the support of a lot of people. So I will tell you that.
Need presidents who can get a support of a lot of people. I mean, this is going to be a pretty fair, balanced wrestling match here, but we need presidents to do better. Yeah. I mean, come on, this idea that, we're going to take this terribly flawed person and say we're going to kind of trop it up. No, let's demand better and let's get into some tough conversations and let's get better. We need better people all the way around.
Amen. Yeah. I want to get your honest thoughts. We've been talking about the spike support from the wellness company. You did an interesting piece I just listened to yesterday. It was fascinating on some of the what's in it and what's going on. But there are a couple of things I want to talk about with the wellness company that bring it. It's a really up and coming health organization. You are the chief scientific officer of the year. You've really taken a role to help set the sails for the future of some of this. I like what I see. But they have what's called One Wellness. It's a plan where you can get all the doctor visits and all of the things in this new world of telemedicine, which a lot of people enjoy. I would be one of those people, by the way, because I'm not the kind of cat you're going to see sitting in a doctor's office somewhere. I don't do well. Mr. Out Loud bounces off the walls. So I would be a perfect candidate for this product here. Tell us about One Wellness, please.
Yeah, One Wellness, as you described, is a monthly payment and then really unlimited services from the doctor visits, which, you know, will be through telemedicine, prescribing medications, ordering laboratories, tests, and then, access to the supplements unlimited. And I think it's going to be perfectly suited. There are patients with diabetes that have frequent blood sugar measurements and just need a lot of interaction. There are patients with vaccine injury and long haul syndrome where there's just a lot of interaction needed to guide people to feeling better.
Well, can I say that at times when that's happening too, these people are not going to want to run into the office every other day. So this would be a perfect scenario, right?
Absolutely. I saw a patient yesterday who's, you know, she's elderly, but she's bright. She's got multiple medical problems, took the vaccines, made things worse. There were so many issues going on. I said, you know, I'm just going to have to see you next month. And this would be the perfect person to do healthcare from their home on their computer through the wellness company.
Right.
And I think it's a wonderful opportunity. Saw another patient who, honestly, he has no dental insurance. He's got a dental problem. I said, listen, you need to join, go through their system for wellness company dental care, get this under control. Because sometimes even dental problems have systemic effects on the body.
Big time, big time. Yeah, yeah. All right, it's called One Wellness, One Wellness. And I'll give you a website now, Out Loud Care, outloudcare.com. And there's a lot of information there you can go check out. There's also, as always, friends, as you know how we do it here, the banner ads back at AmericaOutloud.com as well. We'll drop you right in there. You'll get 25% off the fees here on any of the products. But one other interesting thing, a footnote about this One Wellness plan here. Not only do you get the unlimited doctor visits and all that, but you get all these supplements like spike support, like the heart and muscle, all of the various, they have a whole host of amazing products. Even the Z-Stack there from Dr. Zelenko, all of these things are available there, and you get 25% off those products. Endlessly through the One Wellness membership through using Out Loud code. You got to use the Out Loud code to get the 25% off, frankly, but outloudcare.com. I got to get it out there. We got to just start to roll this out on the network here. So it's very important. And the last thing is we're watching very carefully this product Spike Support. It really seems to be something. A lot of people are looking for answers. I get so many people calling in and wanting these messages that come in about, again, long hauler syndrome, long COVID, vaccine injury, booster problems. Their health has been compromised. They're looking for something. This NATO kinase looks to be something very fascinating, still happening. It's happening as we're talking, but looks pretty good on the spike support, Peter, yeah?
It does. Can't make any therapeutic claims because it hasn't been tested in randomized trials in humans, but it has been previously used and still used today, Japanese, for cardiovascular applications. It's a form of a blood thinner. A natokinase is a oral thrombolytic. It affects some blood test results within a couple hours, so we know it gets into the system. 2,000 units twice a day is a suggested dose. That would be two capsules of the spike support twice a day. My clinical experience so far is that when we start it, it works to dissolve the spike protein within the body, which we get from the vaccines and from the recurrent SARS-CoV-2 viral illness. And it's slow to work. I mean, don't expect immediate results, but after about 2 months, clinical observations of ringing in the ears, painful neuropathy, numbness and tingling in the hands, these types of symptoms tend to melt away. At least that's my anecdotal observation right now. We don't have other therapies that we can prescribe to make these long COVID or vaccine injury syndromes go away. And so this one is emerging as the leader right now. The wellness company product has other important ingredients in it, including black sativa extract, green tea, green moss, these other
dandelion herbal root, all of that stuff.
But you know, people have asked, what's the purpose of those? The purpose of those is to try to ameliorate the effect of the spike protein on the cells and the tissue. And there is some support in doing this. So it's not just natokinase.
Stay right there. More Mark Marlowe Pulse in just a moment.
The pandemic may be over for some, but millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-term effects of toxic spike protein from COVID-19 and the vaccines. Fortunately, Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula with the miracle enzyme natokinase, scientifically studied to dissolve spike protein so you can feel your very best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Whether you're an independent, a Democrat, or a Republican, one thing remains true. Airborne viruses love us equally. You've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the advanced nasal solution Cofix RX. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. Spray goodbye to colds and flus with a Cofix RX Nasal Solution Cleanse. That's COFIXRX.com. Save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD at COFIXRX.com.
America Out Loud beats to the pulse of our nation. We know when you're angry, you're troubled, confused, glad, and thankful. Well, we know you because we are you. AmericaOutLoud.com. Join us as we explore the most important issues of our time. America Out Loud Talk Radio, the liberty and justice for all.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code out loud.
Welcome back to America Out Loud Pulse. It is Malcolm Out Loud here along with Dr. Peter McCullough. And this is Q&A 65. Wow. All right. And so let's dive right into some questions here and move quickly. Should get as many in as we can. This one is from Steve. My 93-year-old dad died recently. He died in the hospital of what appeared to be a cardiac event. His last wishes were to have his body donated to the University of Buffalo's medical school. He was vaccinated, and I believe his sudden mental decline was a result of the mRNA injections. Is this sort of research objectively looked at the remains of the donated bodies, or are they keeping the blinders on? What do you say to that?
I don't know what they're doing with the donated bodies to medical schools, but I can tell you an autopsy study by Mortz in Germany demonstrated in a case of rapid decline and death that, in fact, the vaccine spike protein was in the brain. No evidence of the nucleocapsid, meaning there was no COVID infection, that the vaccine, it was concluded, contributed to the cognitive decline. But let me tell you this much. People who die in their 90s at the end, it's very common way before COVID to have cognitive decline at the end, very common to have a cardiovascular event as the terminal event, as before COVID and the vaccine. But let's see what's happened. I would tell the listener that it's important to direct them. Please stain the tissues for the spike protein.
Okay. All right. There you go. And it's a very important point that Dr. McCullough brings up there, that we tend to be blaming everything on COVID these days, but there are some things that are just the way they are. So just we probably should remember that, you know. This one is from Ill Rides. I'm not vaxxed, but my husband is. Every month on my menstrual cycle, I bleed too much. And not only that, the blood clots are huge, but they don't look like a normal blood clot. Wow. I mean, the texture, speaking of, do you think he passed the poison to me? She asks.
It's possible. We're learning more and more that the messenger RNA can cross the GI tract. The Japanese, in a recent paper by Zhang and colleagues, demonstrated they can get it into a milk bubble and get it to across the GI tract. So certainly it could be in saliva, other secretions. But I think if there's a change in uterine bleeding, the first thing to do is to get a urine ultrasound, see a gynecologist, make sure it's not a fibroid or some other common cause.
Okay. There's one other one in that same area. This one's from Hannah. I know way too many females that have started having issues after the vaccine and ended up having to get hysterectomies, ablations, et cetera. After a year of horrible issues, doctors say that I need a partial hysterectomy. Also, I had a thyroid nodule in March, and white masses appear on my left breast in mammograms. How has the vaccine damaged the uterus and woman's menses? Has it?
Paper by Thorpe and colleagues demonstrated a skyrocketing incidence of menstrual changes with the COVID vaccine compared to other vaccines, in this case, compared against the influenza vaccine. Paper in British Medical Journal shows that menstrual cycles tend to be prolonged by a day or so, and it's almost universal. So yes, the vaccine affects menstrual cycles. Now, what happens if the menstrual cycles are changed, then potentially the detection of problems, including fibroids or other cysts, is prompted. That's certainly possible. There is a relationship between the vaccine and thyroid disease, but again, the Hashimoto's thyroiditis, thyroid nodules are very common, even in those who haven't taken the vaccine. So I think a lot of this is prompting, meaning we take the vaccine, start to feel symptoms, prompts investigation, then we find problems.
Okay. All right. This one is from Dis. What is your take on the IgG4 study? I assume you've heard of this, that came out showing after three shots, you have almost zero IgG3 response. What are the implications of this?
What's being described as subclass switching, that the body's being overloaded with these repeated injections of the same thing, the original Wuhan spike protein. And as the immune system gets misdirected, two things happen. One, that one becomes more susceptible to severe illness with a next infection. And then two, the spike protein may not be neutralized by the circulating antibodies. And then we have injury syndromes like myocarditis, and that was shown in the paper by Yonker. I'm glad this question came up because yesterday, Malcolm, the FDA completely retired the original shots. So the original Pfizer Moderna shots are retired now. So there's no more shots with the solo monovalent Wuhan spike protein. Everything is bivalent. Now, Moderna now is at half dose. Moderna used to be 100 micrograms of messenger RNA. Now it's 50. half of it is the new BA4, BA5, half is the original. Pfizer stayed at the old dose of 30, but it's half original, half BA4, BA5.
I also seen where they were pushing a new booster on people. Did you see that the other day? They approved that?
Well, now it's actually, it is the bivalent booster, but now it's being used as a primary shot, and it's no longer a two-shot series. It's just that, here, take a shot of a booster. So the FDA, without any data, without any studies, has left all regulatory conventions, and in a sense, they're just kind of throwing the booster at people. The CDC today on their website indicated if you're over 65 or immunocompromised, you should consider one of these. But interestingly, they didn't mention other age groups.
Wow. I mean, it just makes you sick, this stuff, you know. Matt, on the same area here, Matt says, what is your opinion on the IgG4 study that recently came out? What are the long-term and short-term implications of this? Any quick comment for Matt?
Implications are potentially more vaccine injury syndromes with more shots because of this idea of not having neutralizing antibodies against the spike protein, and potentially more severe disease. We are, by the way, into the XBB subvariant class. One of them actually now has a name. We're watching this carefully. Remember, Gert Van de Bosch has always said, listen, if we keep this up, sooner or later, the virus is going to take a turn and become more serious. We're watching for this carefully.
All right, amen here. Lisa says, can we test the unvaccinated for spike protein invasion from the vaccinated? I feel certain I have inherited spike protein side effects from my close contact. What's the best way to test?
Yes, we can. We can measure quantitative antibodies against the spike protein and get an inference. Now, the virus itself will cause antibodies against the spike protein, but the rise is not nearly as high as the vaccine. Someone who's had a distant COVID infection and is constantly exposed to the vaccinated, if they have sky-high quantitative antibodies against the spike protein, one would infer that they're getting exposure.
Okay, and the last one here is from Linda. Let's get this in. You'll chuckle here, but I'm so thankful for all your information regarding COVID. I'm curious, how do you, Dr. McCullough, protect yourself from COVID with all the traveling that you do? Do you have any advice for those of us that would like to travel and hopefully not get COVID while on a trip? What do you say to Linda?
I was just at a wedding last weekend. Someone was sick in my circles, and Malcolm, I got back to my room, two sprays of the iodine spray Cofix RX, sniff it back, spit it out, gargled with some iodine, good 30-second gargle, did that morning and evening once I got home, no illness. So I really rely on the nasal virucidal strategies. Remember, on our platform, we have got a great piece by Nate Jones, probably the most informative piece on the topic. And we do have all sorts of information and products, including iodine, peroxide, xylitol, the commercial format of Clear, and others to help keep you safe.
Amen. Yeah. Cofix RX and Clear are both curated companies here on America Out Loud, friends. Clear, pharmacies, drugstores, you can get. It's wonderful, made with xylitol. Nate is a tremendous guy, and it's a wonderful company. Cofix RX, same thing there. That's made with the povidone iodine, more specifically. And that is available. You can get 20% off, actually, using the code OUTLOUD, or just click the banner ad back at America Out Loud, and you'll get that. I've got an idea to bring some of this to our focal point more ahead with this nasal hygiene. I think is a huge deal here. We'll talk more about it in upcoming programs. Friends, we're right out of time here. What a great program. I enjoyed this very much, this intersection of healthcare, politics, and our lives, right? Hey, thanks for joining us here on America Out Loud Pulse. Always a beat ahead.